What's up, y'all? Welcome or welcome back to the Me and He podcast with your host, Araya Sunshine. And in this video, it's titled My First Middle Name, Araya Sunshine's Testimony. And then beside it, I have Saul and Paul. I'm gonna get into that. But before I do any of that, I want to give a trigger warning. I am going to talk about sexual abuse, spiritual abuse, emotional abuse. I'm gonna be talking about that. I'm gonna be talking about addictions to various things. And so I'm going to be talking about suicidal thoughts. If any of that is too much for you, that is okay. There is no shame or condemnation in Christ. I'm going to talk about that in my testimony. You don't have to stay. I don't want to be a stumbling block to you. Paul talks about that. It's okay. I promise you, it's okay. And I'll definitely be praying for you, and I will pray at the end as well. But yeah, I just wanted to get into that before things happen. Also, I want to say I am being vulnerable, so while I always ask for critiques and criticism and things like that, this may not be the video for you to critique everything I say, because I am telling you my life story, and I know that I chose to do that out of my own free will on the internet, but I'm just saying be kind when it comes to criticism and things like that, okay? Thank you. Also, I'm going to be looking to the side because that's where my notes are. I wrote them on my Chromebook. Couldn't print them out, but it's okay. I got them. I didn't come into this blind, okay? All right. Okay, so just for the intro question, I know like I'm gonna dive in deep, so I don't want to throw y'all all the way in there and not give y'all like a little something to start off with. I'll start off a little light, kinda. The question for this video is, what are some of y'all's irrational fears? Mine's are, this is so weird, but black and white photos of like old actresses, so for example like Marilyn Monroe, Dorothy Dandridge, Billie Holiday, Ella Fitzgerald, John F. Kennedy, Abraham Lincoln, I'm trying to think of other people, James Dean, just older actresses. I have a rule of three. Whenever I look them up, I try not to look past the third picture on Google, because you will notice that whenever you scroll too far, you may or may not see a picture of them dead. It was just very common back then for them to take pictures of dead people, especially like in the 1800s. It was very common for, if a loved one died, especially if it was a twin or something, it was very common for you to literally sit in a picture with them dead. You would just prop them up and you would sit. So, because I was scarred as a young child, especially I was scarred with the Black Dahlia. You can look that up if you want to. If not, it's very graphic. I'd recommend that you not, but you're going to do what you want at the end of the day. But yeah, so that's my irrational fear. And then also, like, this one's kind of hard for me too, but certain old Disney movies, it's very hard for me to watch them because I know that I'm listening to voice actors who are already dead. And so that just, all that stuff freaks me out. But those are my irrational fears. Let me know what y'all's are. Okay, now I'm just gonna pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I pray for everyone who is listening to me today. I genuinely just want to say thank you for them. And thank you to you, God. Shout out to you for being all of our savior and allowing us to be here together with community, to the people who have texted me or will text me about the podcast or just whatever. I genuinely want to say thank you from the bottom of my heart that this hobby is edifying to you and just fun for me to do. And I get to talk to people I know from this point on, which was already happening before, God, but we're going to be able to talk with each other and build community in Christ. So in your heavenly name, I want to say thank you to the upteenth time. I couldn't say thank you enough. And I pray for any and everyone who is listening to this. Pray that there would just be something that they can walk away with, whether it's wisdom, knowledge, application, discernment, wisdom, whatever. In your heavenly and righteous name, I pray and thank you. Amen. Okay, so starting off, y'all know the title, and I said I would get back to this. I'm getting back to it now. I put Saul and Paul. So I know a lot of Christians believe that Saul went from his first name Saul to the name Paul. Up until I did my research, literally last night, I did not know that it wasn't like a situation in Genesis. In Genesis, there's a man named Jacob who has 13 kids. He has a daughter. If you're confused, he had a daughter named Dinah, but I just recommend you looking up that story. But we primarily fixate on the 12 kids that he has, which what we call today the 12 tribes. This is where you have like Joseph, Benjamin, Issachar, Naphtali, Reuben, Simeon, you have all of them. And so Jacob ended up going from his first Hebrew name, Jacob, to the name Israel. And it just signified like just a really big change in Christ and a big change in him, which is why we had the Israelites and things like that. I thought that that is what also happened to Saul, who then became Paul, not to be mixed up with the Saul who wanted to kill David in the book of 1st and 2nd Samuel. That is not who I'm talking about. I'm talking about Paul, who wrote so many epistles, which are just letters in the New Testament. That's what I'm talking about. I thought that he was Saul, and then like on the road to Damascus, he turned to Paul. But please, and I'm saying this again, please correct me if I'm wrong, but I don't think there's any scripture that says that God made his name change from Saul to Paul. So what's actually believed, and I'm going to read this. I got this off the site Quora. There's Quora? Sorry. I don't know how to pronounce that, but it says Koine, which is K-O-I-N-E, Greek, was likely Paul's first language. Thus, he would naturally have received a Greek / Hellenistic name, which was probably first Paul, or which is Paulos in Greek. As a Jew, he would have also received a Jewish name, which would be Saul or Shaul in Hebrew. And so it's just like that. I thought that was so cool because I love Paul so, so much. I love his epistles. I love his books. He is just that guy to me, okay? And he was very blunt and straightforward in his letters. And I love that because I am the exact same way. I'm very direct. I like to get to the point. You're probably like, girl, you got a 7-minute intro. You're not getting to the point. This aside, don't fight me. This aside, but seriously though, I thought that was so cool. And just the fact that tying this into my testimony, if y'all have always been confused, I go by two names. My full name is Araya Sunshine Fitch. Fitch is clearly my last name, my maiden name. Maiden name? Yeah, I'm not married. It's my last name. Araya is my first name, A-R-E-Y-A-H. And my middle government name is Sunshine. If you put the two together, it means a ray of sunshine. And so ever since I've been a young girl, teachers would mispronounce my name. They would not say it right. I get called Araya, Aria, Aretha, Aria, Aria. And so because people would not get it right, I would just always tell teachers and friends and stuff. But like my middle name, Sunshine, you can just call me that. And so I've always had friends, teachers, coworkers, whoever, family. Some call me Araya. Some call me Sunshine. Some call me Ray Ray, some call me Ray, some call me Sunny, some call me Sun. Genuinely, that's why I say I don't have a problem with whatever name you call me. I love nicknames, seriously. So if you want to give me a nickname, I'm more than open to it. But that's what my name means, and I relate to Paul, like how he's Paul or Saul. I'm Araya, or I'm Sunshine, or I'm Araya Sunshine. Like, there's just so many things. So there's that. And also, I'll just throw this in. My name in the Hebrew, the closest name spelling that I have to my first name is A-R-Y-E-H, and it has something to do with the meaning of a lion. Now, my hair is kind of giving lion vibes today, so I see that, but I'm still trying to figure out how that ties into me. Like, I don't know if that means like I have a fierce spirit or things like that, and I'm saying that because in the Old Testament, y'all, they took naming children very seriously. They were not just going to be out here. No shade to Gwyneth Paltrow, but I think her daughter's name is Apple. They would not name their children just Apple or Orange or Tomato or Cherry Blossom. No, like they put so much thought and intention into names and things like that. Like why they called Jesus Emmanuel. Like all this stuff, it was serious. So yeah, going into that though, I'm also going to read a little... hopefully y'all didn't think y'all were going to get a testimony video without no scripture, baby. You came to the wrong place if that's what you thought you were going to get. But I also just want to talk about King Nebuchadnezzar as well, because he was one of my favorite kings as a kid. And if you know anything about him, you're probably like, why? He was terrible. He was a terrible man. But what we are focusing on, but at least what I'm going to read, is his change thereafter. And I just loved how he had a long name. It was different. I feel like my name is different, so I related to him in that sense too. All right, I'm in Daniel chapter 4, verses 25 to 34. Am I? Yes, I am. Okay, so this is, I'll read it and then I'll explain. that you shall be driven from among men, and that your dwelling shall be with the beast of the field. That someone's talking to King Nebuchadnezzar. You shall be made to eat grass like an ox, and you shall be wet with the dew of heaven. And 7 periods of time shall pass over you, till you know that the Most High rules the kingdom of men and gives it to whom he will. And as it was commanded to leave the stump of the roots of the tree, your kingdom shall be confirmed for you from the time that you know that heaven rules. Therefore, O king, let my counsel be acceptable to you. Break off your sins by practicing righteousness, and your iniquities by showing mercy to the oppressed, that there may perhaps be a lengthening of your prosperity. All this came upon King Nebuchadnezzar. At the end of 12 months, he was walking on the roof of the royal palace of Babylon. And the king answered and said, "Is this not great Babylon, which I have built by my mighty power as a royal residence and for the glory of my majesty?" While the words were still in the king's mouth, there fell a voice from heaven, "O King Nebuchadnezzar, to you it is spoken, the kingdom has departed from you, and you shall be driven from among men, and your dwelling shall be the beast of the field, and you shall be made to eat grass like an ox, and 7 periods of time shall pass over you until you know that the Most High rules the kingdom of men and gives it to whom he will." Immediately the word was fulfilled against Nebuchadnezzar. He was driven from among men and ate grass like an ox, and his body was wet with the dew of heaven till his hair grew as long as eagle's feathers. Come on, y'all. And his nails were like bird's claws. At the end of the days, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted my eyes to heaven, and my reason returned to me, and I blessed the Most High and praised and honored him who lives forever. For his dominion is an everlasting dominion, and his kingdom endures from generation to generation. And so what ended up happening was King Nebuchadnezzar is the same king that banished Daniel and the 3 Hebrew boys, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, or Hananiah, Azariah, and Mishael, or Michael. He's the one that told him that they had to worship down to the statue that he made of himself. And he was like, "If y'all don't worship, y'all go into the fiery furnace." And they did just that. And that, I love this song. Y'all can look it up, but it's called "There's Another in the Fire." This is where this is inspired from, because there was someone else in the fire. Some say it's Jesus, some say it's an angel. If it's not biblical backing, I can't tell you which one to choose. And I cannot remember that scripture right off my head, so I'm not going to tell you whether it was Jesus or an angel. But there was someone else in that fire that saved them, and they came out unscathed. Saying all that to say, I very much so am like King Nebuchadnezzar. I'm not going to say that I had everything before I came to Christ, but I had to go through a period of time where I had to fall on my face, and I had to really be humbled for me to come back to Christ, because I was rejecting him left and right. So now I am finally going to be getting into my testimony. So I was born in Charlottesville, Virginia. It's pretty small in my opinion. I think the population is around 40,000 or so. That to me is small. I was born underneath my parents. You're probably like, duh. So at that time, up until I was 2, I was raised with my mother and father. And then my mother decided to take me, and at that time, my newborn twin siblings, to Lubbock, Texas. And so we moved, and my father did not come with us. And so that started just the journey of me being away from my father and not having that strong father figure. Just as you can probably tell, it just caused a lot of turmoil. It was never in God's design plan for just a man to care for a family or just a woman to care for a family. That's why you have 2 different genders, a male and a female, and both of them having their different roles to help continue to a child's life. And so as we were here, my aunt, who is my great aunt that I'm talking about, she raised us up in the church. And by this, I mean, whatever activities you think we were doing in the church, we definitely were. We had something called Children's Church, and we were doing a lot of outreach at a young age, like giving back to the homeless, doing like lemonade stands and stuff, and raising money for the church. We were praise dancing. We were miming. You can look up miming, because that's not as popular everywhere. It's more so in the South, kind of. But we were doing literally any and everything, singing in the choir, like, y'all, we were doing everything. And so I was grown up in the church, but I didn't really have a relationship with God. And this is where, like, a lot of people, you'll hear them say today, that, like, relationship over religion. Yes and no. You definitely need to have a relationship with God, but religion is also important because as Christians, we are religious. I think, unfortunately, out of so many people's hurt from the church, they have completely abandoned religion. And it's like, no, you do still need order and structure. It's just the way that you go about it. So I would say, instead of relationship over religion, which, again, yes and no with that, I would just say have relationship and religion in Christ. That's just what I would say, but that was a side note. But we did all of that stuff. I had a Bible. I knew a lot of people in the church, but I did not know. It was mind-boggling to me when I later found out that once I left the church, that I didn't just have to, meaning left the church to go home. I didn't know that the pastor's word was not equivalent to the word of God. Meaning, in my little brain as a kid, I thought that what the pastor said was equally as important to what God says. But sometimes pastors go off on tangents and they're not always speaking the word of God in general. And so I'm not saying that so that you don't go to church. No, go to church because you need like-minded believers, Hebrews 10, 25. But I'm just saying, like, I didn't know that my little Bible that I had, I didn't know that it wasn't supposed to collect dust Monday through Saturday and only be open on Sunday, or vice versa. Sorry. I thought that it was not supposed to be open Monday through Saturday and only collect dust on Sunday. Like, this stuff was, it was very odd to me. I didn't know that I didn't know that I was supposed to do that stuff once I got back. Like, I just didn't. And so it was really mind-boggling to me. But at that time, I was a little sheep. And I even remember my Bible had a little sheep on it, but I was just blindly listening to whoever told me whatever it is. And as a child, we do this all the time. So around the third grade, this is when things started really hitting for me. I started to have a lot of epiphanies. At this time, I realized that I did not have a father. I remember we did like a father and daughter dance at the elementary that I was at. And I was like, wait, so my dad's not here. I cannot tell you last time I saw my dad. I think at this point I would keep in contact with him, like through phone calls and stuff. But when I was younger, there was no FaceTime on iPhone. So I was not seeing him. I think from 2 to, how old was I in third grade? Like 7, from 2 to 7. Maybe I would sometimes go back with my family to visit my father in Virginia, but I can't really remember much from that time. And so I was like, huh? I was like, why is my dad not here? Like, I didn't understand it. It made me really sad on those days when that would happen, because I was like, where's my dad at? And also around this time, my mom would have different boyfriends and things like that, but none of whom stayed around and none of whom I ever felt comfortable calling dad, because I knew, I was like, that is not my daddy. I said, we don't even look the same. So yeah, I just didn't, I don't know. For me, I was just like, no. But yeah, so also from kindergarten to third grade, I was at a predominantly white school. That does not mean anything negative at all. Don't ever take it that way. I'm just letting y'all know because I love context. I want y'all to be able to see little Raya, so that y'all can like imagine everything. So that's the only reason why I'm saying that. But yeah. And then also I tried at this point, whenever fourth and fifth grade came around, I was now at a predominantly black school. So imagine that huge switch from kindergarten to third, I'm at a predominantly white elementary school. And then fourth and fifth grade, I'm at a predominantly black elementary school on the other side of town, on the east side. And the east side here in Lubbock is the more poor side, more poverty stricken. It was a culture shock for real. I definitely was bullied. And unfortunately, in turn, I also became a bully. And that's something I've repented of. I've always felt bad for, because I took what was happening to me and I spewed it onto other people. And with bullying, I was getting bullied by kids in school, but then also family members as well. So again, I literally was just mimicking my environment as if I was some type of chameleon. But I literally remember one of my best friends at elementary, she told me, she was like, on the first day of school, I didn't want to be friends with you because I thought that you were a boy because your mustache and you just look like a little boy. And like I had a gap in my teeth before braces and so. I just like I took all that in and I was like, dang. So like at this point in elementary, when my brain is supposed to be built up on focusing on good, healthy relationships and a two-parent household and all that stuff, you can see that slowly I'm starting to go downhill with my self-esteem and things like that. And so even though at my first elementary, I was a little quiet, but I still had like a good personality and stuff. I now was just trying to fit in and copy and paste other black students because I didn't know what I was doing. Like it was a Genesis 3 issue. I didn't know my identity. And so I was just walking around with fig leaves all over me and just copying whatever I saw. Also, please read Genesis 3. When I refer to fig leaves, whenever Adam and Eve got banished out the garden, they took fig leaves to cover themselves because they were ashamed. For me, my fig leaves were copying my friends, not having an original personality, not being the ray of sunshine that I was born to be. I was just copying any and everyone. So yeah, but at this time though, I was still actively in church. We would still travel and stuff like that. Sorry, I dropped this, but we would still travel. We would still do things like that. But again, it became more of a chore for me. I knew how to get people in the church to clap and all that stuff with me doing the good praise dance and all that. And so I just focused more on that because that's more where my community was in the church. And so now around fifth and sixth grade, this is when lust heavily started to creep in for me. When I was in elementary, I always knew that I was like attracted to young boys and things like that. But the lust started to run rapid around fifth and sixth grade. I don't remember specifically when. I just remember I was 10. So this was probably beginning of sixth grade year. I was watching a show and literally the thought, oh, sorry, I got pin on me. The thought that passed in my mind was, huh, I wonder what this woman on the TV would look like naked. And I know that's very alarming, but I just want y'all to understand, especially with me going into the education field, I study these things, I know about them. Whenever a child's goal is to mimic and is to imitate the environment around them, think chameleon. So that's why in Proverbs 22 and 6, when Solomon is writing, train up a child in the way they should go, so that when they get old, they don't depart from it. That's not a joke. In our culture today, we think it's so funny to create broken homes for kids. And I'm not just talking about, oh, well, I have a two-parent household, so we're good. No. Did they teach you about the Bible? Did they teach you about selflessness? Did they teach you how to love others? Did you feel like you could regulate your emotions as a child? That's what I'm talking about. And so instead of me being in a home where I feel like I could explain this and then I would have been explain this attraction and I would have been met back with biblical understanding and I would have been like, oh, I can get help. Like I can confide in others in the church and understand this. I was met with shame and so much curiosity. And as a child, you know, we're told don't touch the cookie jar, but if the cookie jar is right there and mom stepped out, I'm getting a cookie. And so I was thinking, like, what would this woman look like? And so I ended up going on a pornographic site at 10 years old. That was my first time. And I was so scared. And this mindset just tells you about how ignorant I was and how quick Satan was to just come in and just take away my innocence and all of that stuff. I was thinking, like, because I had ended up masturbating, and I was like, oh my gosh, should I just get myself pregnant? Like, of course, me now, I'm like, girl, no, you need two to tango. But as a kid, I did not know this stuff. And so it felt wrong. But at the same time, I was like, no, like this kind of feels good. Like it felt like an outlet. Because again, I didn't really like home. Again, like I mentioned before, my mom had like a lot of different boyfriends and things like that. Home just wasn't the best place in my opinion. And also around this time, we started to get evicted a lot more. And so I didn't even feel like I had a stable home. And this is also around the time when a lot of hatred started harboring in my heart. And again, this is just probably symptoms of the addiction to pornography and masturbation that was starting to build. But just hatred of everything. I was like, how come I'm in the church praise dancing and people are telling me that I'm such a young, gifted, talented young lady and all this stuff. But yet, when I get home, sometimes there's not food in the fridge. When I get home, me and my mom don't even know how to pay the light bill. Like, stuff like that. I just was like, this is not giving. God, why am I worshiping you publicly, but in private, Our funds are low. We're getting evicted. My mom is depressed and anxious. I was like, this isn't it. Also, I forgot to mention my little sweet bundle of joy, Mari. I'm sorry, y'all. I forgot to mention this. But around fourth grade as well, my mom had her fourth child, which is my youngest brother, Amari. So at this point, there's four of us. Still, none of our fathers are active in the household. So that again contributed to a lot of turmoil with my mom and her baby fathers and just a lot of stuff behind the scenes. And so I really was just confused. I was like, God, like, it doesn't seem like you're godding right now. So what is this? But yeah, so I was dealing with a lot of lust, a lot of homosexuality, just a lot. Confusion is what I say, and God is not a God of confusion, but just any and everything that you could think of, like my mind was gone. And hear me when I say this, please. God is a restorer. He is a restorer. He is a healer. Don't wait around. Don't wait around. I'm not fear-mongering you. I'm just telling you. You literally don't know how many days you have. That's not fear-mongering. That's literally atheists would believe that. And honestly, there probably isn't even a thing. There's probably no basis for atheists because in order to be an atheist, you have to believe that something is not believed in the first place. So that kind of contradicts them. But anyway, seriously, even Buddhists and Muslims, whatever, we can all believe on one common ground that we don't know the day that we're going to die. So all fear-mongering aside, get right with Christ, because I'm telling y'all, y'all can just hear now, and I'm not even at the depths and the crux of my testimony. The life that I was living, I should be currently, like right now, I should be 6 feet under, and there should be flowers at my gravesite because of the life that I was living. So please take heed to everything that I'm saying. And more important than that, take heed to the word of God, because that is so powerful and it will heal you. I'm telling y'all, I'm a living testimony. Like, y'all, I haven't even gotten to the drug addictions and stuff yet as I was a kid. Like, I'm a living testament. Like, look, I'm alive. I'm breathing. Glory to God. Oh, Jesus, you are such a good God. Oh, okay. And so as I was starting to deal with these feelings of homosexuality and liking girls, but also liking boys, and now I'm like, oh, I want to have sex. Like, all this stuff, I was met with so much shame because I did not know what to do. But I was still in and out the church and doing all that stuff, putting on a front on Sundays. Then as soon as I got back, I was like, oh, whatever, cussing at school, doing all that stuff, hanging out with the wrong crowd. And because a lot of people knew my great aunt, and they still do in the city that I live in, because she was like on like the school board and like trying to run for mayor. I think it was mayor. Sorry, Auntie Manna, if that's wrong. Like, she was doing stuff like that. She was very involved in the community. They knew whose niece I was. And I knew around a certain crowd, I needed to act one way, but around my friends, oh, we was gonna turn up. So that's the type of mindset that I was in. And then sixth grade. Oh, sixth grade. My mother ended up having a miscarriage. And so my baby brother King, my sibling, he died. And this tattoo on my neck is Isaiah 65:28. And it's the verse that talks about how Isaiah is saying that, like, no longer will there be old men who die at their old age. No longer will there be infants who die in their youth, because there will be a day when heaven is not going to deal with the tears and the grief and all that stuff. But that was extremely hard for me because of how traumatic it was for me. My mother did not know she was pregnant, so she didn't take the precautions. And also throughout this story, I also want to say, what this is not in this testimony is going to be shaming my family and things like that. Forgiveness is free and forgiveness is healing. And I have had to take that journey. So while you may not agree with the actions I may have taken in this story or my family, I don't want y'all to harbor hatred toward anyone that I talk about in this story, because that's not godly. And that's not the point of this testimony. It's to show God's glory through me. Sorry, if that's blasphemous, sorry. Let me correct that. It's for me to give glory to God through my testimony. It's not for bashing for my family members and things like that. Do I think that there should have been better judgment on a lot of people's end, like friends and family, and even on my end? 2,000%. And you can take that clip and do with it what you want. But I just want to say that. But she didn't know she was pregnant, so she wasn't taking precautions with stuff like that. And so I remember her being on the couch, and my mother is a light-skinned woman, but her skin tone, I'm telling you, her skin tone, y'all, was like that of, I don't even know how to explain it, like kind of like a purplish grayish tone, and it freaked me out because I thought my mom was going to die. I remember there would just be random times where like she would just like throw up, and I was like, as a kid, I was looking up signs like, does my mom have cancer? Like, what's going on? And she couldn't afford health care, so there was so much. But I remember her laying on the couch, and she told me, she was like holding my hand, and she was like, it literally feels like I'm pregnant, or like I'm giving contractions. And as a young kid, I didn't understand, but I was like, it's like, mom, you're not pregnant. I was like, you're not having contractions. And then the next thing I remember is my aunt, who was not my great aunt, my mom's sister, she was like, Araya, take all the kids and go in the room. And I am the oldest of me and my siblings. So at the time, it was just me and the twins and my youngest brother, Amari. And then my three cousins, we were all basically raised as siblings growing up because we all are close in age and our moms are sisters. But she was like, take them and go in the room. And I can remember my cousins asking, like, what's going on? What's happening? Because the EMT were outside, the police were here. I didn't know what was happening. I genuinely thought my mom was going to die. I didn't know what was happening. But then come to find out, my mom had my baby brother in the toilet. And he passed, unfortunately. And it was so hard. And I remember here in Lubbock, our hospital's called UMC, University Medical Center. I remember them rolling my mother out. And like my twin siblings, like they were confused. Because if I was 10, they had to be like 7 or 8. Yes, because this was July 31st, 2016. I will always remember that date because it's his birth and death date. But they were like, where's the baby? Like, where's our brother? And I had just vowed to myself, I was like, Araya, he said, don't cry. Like, you have to be strong for him. Like, I was like, we're not gonna. I was like, no, all around the border. I was like, this is not happening right now. Like, I was part in shock. I was freaked out. I was like, okay, I gotta be strong for my siblings and cousins. Like, it was a lot. And so the twins, like, they ended up crying and like breaking down in the car. And it was a lot for me. And so, as we're going upstairs to our apartment now that our mom is discharged and she's back from the hospital, I literally like just stared at myself in the mirror and I could not cry. No tears come out. Like, it literally felt like a block. And from this point on, like from 10 kind of on up, I stopped crying in front of people. Even when like it was okay and appropriate to cry, like at funerals and stuff, I forced myself to not cry. Something happened that day, traumatically, clearly, obviously, to my body, that like it's kind of felt like my tear duct kind of just shut down. That's really the only way I can explain it. And from that point on, I vowed to myself, I was like, you need to be a protector. You need to watch out for your family because y'all's dads are not here. I was like, you need to kick it into gear. Like, all the emotion stuff has got to go out the window. And for any age, that is not appropriate because even Jesus wept. That's John 11:35. So to tell my 10-year-old self that I don't need to cry anymore, I don't need to be sad or any of that because I have to adult up. Woo! That messed me up.
Hey y'all, this is editing me again. I also failed to mention that during my depression and anxiety, the anxiety would be so bad to the point where I literally would eat lunch in the school bathrooms. I think I mentioned that partially, but the depression would be so bad that it brought on suicidal thoughts, which I think I talked about as well, but I don't think I mentioned that I would not get out of my bed for days on end. I didn't even have the strength to brush my teeth, that I would go days without showering. Like, I really did hit a low, and I just want to really express the importance of God really healed me, because to be in that mental state period is really damaging. But for me to have been a child, to have been in my youth experiencing that, it was a lot.
I'm gonna be very honest with you. My brother passing was just another door that led to a lot of dark brokenness in my life. And so now, my 7th grade year, at this point, sorry, I didn't also mention, for middle school, I was at a all girls school. And so those feelings of me being attracted to girls and all those things, like seeing them on pornography and all that, girls and guys, it amped up at an all girls school. And so I dated a girl from, I was a 7th grader, she was a 6th grader, so for like a couple of months. And even during that time, I was just, it was a lot of darkness that was happening in my life at middle school. Middle school represents a really dark time for me because I didn't know who I was. And when you don't know who you are in Christ, you do some crazy stuff, point blank period. Like, it's like the equivalent of me being on drugs. Like, I didn't know who I was. And I'm going to talk about drugs too. So I'll have an analogy in a second. But in seventh grade, I started drinking more because I had access to it. I started smoking. The first time I smoked, the first time I blunt, pause, the first time a Black and Mild hit my lips, I was 11. The first time a blunt hit my lips, I was 12. So take in mind, elementary, I'm already struggling with self-esteem. I'm already struggling with identity issues. I'm already farther away from Christ. But you want to mix that up with drugs and alcohol, and I'm 12. Ugh, imagine the brain scan of me. Imagine my brain scan. Seriously, like, I was so far gone. And the weed and the alcohol, it made me feel good. I was like, I feel alive. I feel like super good. I was like, this is great. Like, I can escape home. I can escape the eviction notices. I can escape reality. I can just escape all this pain and stuff. So I was like, this is awesome. This is amazing. And so then also around this time, I'm bringing this up because I'll make a video on this later, but around sixth grade, I started my period. For the first year, I had no period cramps. Seventh grade year, I promise this is going to tie in. Things started to go horribly wrong. I now know that I've been diagnosed with endometriosis, so I'm not going to go all into that, but I just want y'all to know, not only was I going through mental health struggles, I also was going through a lot of physical health struggles, especially during my period since I have endometriosis, and I didn't know at the time, but I have PMDD, which is premenstrual dysphoric disorder. And so smoking and alcohol at those times definitely became an escape because it was like, mentally I feel good. This also makes me feel good physically whenever I'm in pain, like when it's that time of the month for my body. So I wanted y'all to know that as well. I was doing a lot, and this is why I say I should have been 6 feet under, out of God's smite, like him just smiting me. But also the road that I was in, baby, I was basically shaking hands with the devil. Like, just the life that I was going down, and it's not healthy. It's edifying to Satan, it's not edifying to God though. But yeah, so I started cussing a lot more. My tongue was, it was very nasty, it was very gross. I'm just gonna show like just a lot of different videos and a lot of stuff that I was doing really in middle school and high school. But just hopefully y'all can keep along. But like, just a lot of stuff that I was doing and participating in. The more graphic ones, like me being promiscuous and twerking and stuff, I will not show those because I was underage. But just the life, I cannot stress this enough. The life I was living was not right, point blank period. And especially the music I was listening to. And this is why it's still hard for me today to shy away from this music. But I love that hardcore trap music. Like, I'm not even gonna name artists because I don't want y'all to start liking their music. But if it was talking about scamming and trapping and drugs and sex and all the things, I liked it, I wanted it, and I played it full blast. Like, that was my daily bread. That was my manna. Like, suddenly reading the Bible every day and meditating on it. No. Sorry, I shouldn't have said manna because that's bread from heaven. But like, those are my idols, the music I was listening to. It would get me hyped up, it would get me amped, like all the things. And so around this time, I had so many addictions in middle school to pornography, to masturbation, to women, to men. What's up, y'all? This is editing me. I clearly forgot to talk about this. Not that it is my favorite subject to talk about either, but also around the age of 12, around the age of 8, I started being groomed by someone I considered a close family member. I actually considered this person a cousin, and it actually was a female. And so that also contributed to a lot of the females, sorry, a lot of the feelings that I started to feel toward women as well. But anyways, I started being groomed by her and touched and all that stuff. And it happened, literally, it would happen sometimes in church. Like, she would start off saying like, oh, she just wants to give me a back massage. And then at 12, it led up to her actually molesting me when I was spending the night at her house one time. And so I wanted to add that in there as well, because unfortunately, just like so many other things in my testimony, this has been a trivial
very important time in my life because still to this day, I still have negative effects from that. Like, it's hard for me at times, like for people to touch me and stuff. Like, it freaks me out. I have a lot of OCD as a result. Like, not even like how people on TikTok, they're like, I have OCD, and they make it look aesthetic. Like, no, like certain things have to be in the right place. I've even had OCD with like my body care hygiene and all that stuff because there were times when I tried to scrub away the dirt that was on my body as a result of me being molested. And other times I just wouldn't shower for days because I didn't want her to touch me again. And so there's so many negative things that have stemmed from that, but I wanted to include that as well because I did give the trigger warning and I just completely forgot to talk about it. But that was also a very, very devastating point in my testimony. And God is still healing me. If you're someone who's dealt with this, please talk to me because I hate it when people are like, oh, I understand. Well, if you've never been molested or raped or groomed, then no, you don't understand. But I understand, so please come to me. No, I'm not going to shame you. I'm not going to ask you what you were wearing or what you were doing because that happened to me oh so many times. Whenever I did tell people what was happening, and on top of that, I was so traumatized at 12. I didn't even really cl it didn't click in my head that I was molested because I thought it was normal. And then from 12 to 15, 3 years, y'all, 3. I didn't tell anyone because I was scared I was. And once I finally did, I kind of regretted it because I felt like the people near me didn't, excuse me, handle that information correctly. But yeah, I just wanted to add that in. Now going back to my testimony.
I should say to girls, to boys, because I was a child, just to any and everything, to weed, to the alcohol, it was a lot for me. And so, of course, I started to get a lot of depression and anxiety. And so, around age 11, I realized that I was like, something's wrong, having a lot of suicidal ideation. And I was like, something's off. So, I end up going to the doctor. They tell me I have anxiety. I think a year later, when I'm 12, they also say I have depression. And so, from this point on and off, I'm going to mention the birth control too, because it was supposed to be used as a remedy for my endometriosis, because I didn't know I had it at the time. But me being on birth control and antidepressants, this was me all the time. You never knew which side of me you were going to get. Heavily mimicked a bipolar disorder because I was on so many different medications with the birth control and the antidepressants, which are both ones that really mess with your mood. My brain clearly was going the opposite way. If I'm supposed to be going right, my brain was going left because I was smoking weed and drinking alcohol, and just the stuff I was meditating on was messing my body up. So I was very messed up. My mood was always all over the place. I literally felt like I was a slave to my own emotions. Like, I did not know what to do. It was very scary at that time. I can even remember there was one time specifically I took a prayerfully, I'm not banned for this, but I just took a very large item and I tried to harm myself with that. And there was a lot of stuff going on during that time. I'm gonna just be real with you. Like, 'cause that was real life. That's what was happening. That was my life at the time. No play, no cut the camera. This is not the Kim Kardashians. This is not Keeping Up with Them. This was real life. This was my life. This was real life bondage. This was real life shackles. I'm gonna talk about demons later, but this was real life demons. No joke. Cut the cameras, because this was serious. But yeah, and so there was a lot of turmoil in my family as well at this time. There was dang near an argument with my mom like every day. Like, I was very like the things that just came out of my mouth, like I knew how to pierce someone with what I said. I knew how to amp them up with what I said. And I found so much pride and identity in that. Like, all my friends knew. They were like, oh, don't say nothing crazy to Araya because she'll have you in your feelings. And I was like, yeah, like, y'all know not to mess with me, but that's not cute. That's not edifying. God says to do the complete opposite. And so now, 9th grade year, I'm going into high school. I left from my all girls middle school, even though I was still dealing with the same attractions and things like that. And I went to a co-ed public high school. I came there with an agenda. I'm gonna just be real with you. I said, I'm getting a boyfriend. More than likely in a couple months, I will be having sex for the first time. I was on a mission. I did not care. I said, this is gonna happen. So I'm still addicted to weed and all this stuff at this point. And I'm not drinking as much now, but still here and there whenever I had access to it. I started to become very promiscuous. And for me, I didn't think I was promiscuous because I was like, oh, well, I'm not having sex with these guys. But I was flirting with them. I was talking to multiple ones. I was being sloppy with like talking to this one, but also talking to their friend. Like I was doing a lot of that stuff. I also almost got into a fight because of that. Which is just insane. Like I was very careless. I was just like, whatever, toodles. I was like, I don't even want to live anyway, so why would I care about somebody else? I was like, I don't care if that's such and such boyfriend. I was like, he'll get took. Like that's the type of mindset and stuff that I was dealing with. And so to me, I was like, well, I'm not technically like, I'm not doing oral or nothing, so like I'm not promiscuous. All the lust, it starts in the heart and in the mind, and then it progresses and manifests outward with what you actually end up doing. So yes, I was being promiscuous. I just didn't want to claim that because who wants to claim it? And for us growing up, we would say things like thoughts or stuff like that, and we would say fast. We would say such and such is fast, not talking track and field. I'm talking like fast, like you'd be hopping from this dude to the next, or same thing with girls and all that stuff. And so my mind was very flooded with a lot of false identities. I cannot stress this enough how polluted my mind was. Like, oh, I would never want this to happen. But like, I don't even know how to explain it. Like, think about a landfill. That's how trashy my mind was with the way I thought, the way I talked, the way I spoke, like how flooded I was in my emotions, not knowing how to regulate them. I wanted to be on medication sometimes. Other times I didn't. Like, I just went through a lot. I started to have a lot of hatred toward my father. And so because of that, I just started doing things in spite of him. Like, I'd be like, okay, I'm just going to sleep with a man just because. Thank God I didn't. But like, it was stuff like that, like stuff that I knew probably would upset my father. I wanted to do it just to spite him, just because. And so then COVID came, my ninth grade year. And that was a very low time for me. I remember right before COVID had actually hit, like around that spring break time, where they were like, y'all have 2 weeks out or a week out, and it turned into 2 weeks and then 3 months and then a year. Around that time, I remember I would always get recommendations on my YouTube to watch like tarot card videos and stuff. And I knew because I was still in the church at this time. Clearly my fruit showed otherwise, but I was still in the church. So I knew. I was like, tarot definitely is witchcraft. I did know that. But I was like, I could just watch it here and there. I was like, because it just seems fun. It keeps being recommended. So like, I'll just see. And because I was not strong in my worry, like I remember some Bible verses like here and there as it was a child, but none of them particularly that I memorized dealt with witchcraft. So I was like, tarot is not witchcraft. I was like, I'm gonna turn up. Like, these videos are fun. Like, they seem really cool. Like, you tell me you could predict my future. And I was like, going down the route that I was so easily deceived. Like, I was like a sheep with no shepherd. Y'all know that's a Bible analogy, but I was just out there like with no guidance. Excuse me. And so that led from me going to tarot card videos to me buying like crystals and stuff. And I literally ordered my own tarot deck. I was watching videos like, it would be like 12 videos every day that would all contradict each other with messages for me. My zodiac sign, I was following religiously. Like, I would wear certain colors. If it was like, oh, for instance, if it's like Cancer, today your color is red, wear red and your crush will notice you. I would do stuff like that. I started getting into a lot of spell work, like collecting rainwater and all that stuff, moon gazing and sun gazing to open up my third eye. I did end up opening my third eye, by the way. According to New Age standards, I just started doing a lot of that stuff, and it was heavy. It was very heavy because I was all in. I was seriously all in. I was changing my diet, not because I wanted to take care of my temple, like it says in the Bible, but because I wanted good spirits to be able to come in and enter me whenever I would meditate. I was opening my chakras, like the third eye, the sacral one, the heart chakra. Like I would sit in different positions and stuff so I could know all this stuff. If I had more money, I would have ordered like more of like the Kundalini stuff. If I had more access, I would have gotten into Reiki and stuff. Like I was just so desperate because again, I didn't know my identity during COVID and I was still struggling with suicidal thoughts and stuff. I just wanted to attach myself to something. And so I very much so did. And this is when I started to have the demonic encounters. Now, let me say this. I am not saying that every Christian is going to go through a demonic encounter. My opinion, and I feel like this is biblically backed with a parable that is talked about in the Gospels. But if you have a clean house, certain things just can't get in. And I believe it's the same thing with us as Christians. I'm gonna say now, I don't believe Christians can have demons. At the time, even though I professed I was a Christian, my heart did not profess that I was a Christian. So yes, there was a lot of demonic activity and a lot of demonic encounters that I had because even though I felt like I had the Holy Spirit, which you cannot go off of an emotion-led gospel, that is not gonna get you very far. The Holy Spirit clearly was not in me because my fruits were showing otherwise. And I talked about all the fruits of the Spirit in season one, which you can go and look at. Or tell me if you liked it or didn't like it. You can be honest. But yes, going back to that, there were a couple times. So once I opened up my third eye, I remember there was one time all my family had left. And but I saw my little brother, he was dressed in all white, but I saw my little brother run across the laundry room. And our laundry room was only like from here to here. Like it only had enough to fit the washer and the dryer. That was it. And I was like, Mari, stop running. And it literally took me 10 minutes as I'm sitting there dumbfounded. I kid you not, to realize. I said, wait. I said, my family left like 30 minutes ago. How did I just see my brother run from here to here 10 minutes ago? It's like, okay, demonic encounter. But again, at the time, I didn't know that. I would just start to get really freaked out. Then, somewhere around this time as well, I kid you not, like for 3 days straight, three, I'm not talking one, not talking two, three. You know, like when you rub your eye too hard and you start seeing the dots? I saw that, but in like pest form. And so, whenever I had opened up my third eye with continual meditating and opening up the chakras and placing certain crystals on me and all that stuff, and literally asking spirits to come in and angel guides and angel numbers, which pause. I know that certain numbers in the Bible do mean certain things, but for you to say that it's an angel bringing you that number when that's not biblical, I do not agree with because the Bible does not agree with that. Again, yes, certain numbers can symbolize certain things, but that doesn't mean that you take that number and say, oh, that means that God is going to give me this amount of money, or oh, that means that God is going to give me this spouse. Don't misuse the Bible. I'll say that. But I was following angel numbers and all that stuff, believing that angels were my guides and talking to me. There were encounters in the Bible, and almost every single time when they're talked about in the Bible, it says, do not be afraid. That's the first thing. So, 9 times out of 10, seraphim, cherubim, and all this stuff with the multiple wings, they're not the Americanized angels that we think of, just the two wings with the halo and they're singing. Child, no, that's not what that is. 9 times out of 10, they're very scary, and they don't look right. But again, I didn't know that. I'm calling out to angels by name. And do we see that in the Bible? No. The angels that we know by name are Lucifer, Gabriel, and Michael. So all these different other angels I was calling on, they're demons. They masquerade. It's just what Satan does. He speaks his native language. I also talked about that in season one. He speaks lies. That's what's native to him. I speak English. That's what's native to me. I had to learn how to speak Espanol un poco, a little bit of Spanish. And even that was broken. That was Spanglish. That was like some Texan stuff. But yeah, like I was just doing a lot of that stuff. And so the second demonic encounter is when I opened my third eye. And then I kid you not, for 3 days straight, I heard like, I'm not even going to add the sound because I feel like that would probably freaks me all out. So imagine how I felt trying to be strong because I'm like new age, yes. And I was watching spiritual, so I was like new age, yes. But I'm like fear, like I'm super scared because I feel like this is my livelihood and this is creepy. But I would hear like, think of like, I don't know how to explain it. Like, I don't know if y'all could hear that, but like ticking like this in my ear for 3 days straight. And then like I could see nothing but like roaches crawling around me. Did anybody else see this in my family? No. Did my siblings see it? No. And the twins would tell me, they're like, Araya, you're starting to freak me out, because they could tell I was changing. I had a more dark appearance to me. But yeah, so that was the second demonic encounter. Now the third one, the one that made me get right, and shout out to Jesus. I'm gonna tell y'all, Jesus is that guy. I'm so serious, because the route that I was on, and like for him to still consider me his daughter, for him to still get on the cross knowing that I was among one of the scraggly, dusty children that were gonna come begging for mercy later, knowing I had done wrong. You can't tell me that he is not the GOAT. Like, you cannot convince me otherwise. But anyway, so then this night, I actually should have kicked the bucket. I should have died. I'm going to just be honest with you. My family left, so I think I smoked weed, and then I took like melatonin 3 times the regular amount and like 3 times the regular amount for ibuprofen. And I was like in this high kind of comatose state. And I was like, this is the perfect time to lucid dream. Just inviting demons and all that stuff in. And so at this point, I was like, okay, I'm starting to see stuff. So I kid you not, I turned to the left, and there are like 3 figures standing behind me. And they're like, we're not done with you yet. And the way I jumped with so much fear, I can't even explain what they were, because a lot of stuff in the Bible, when it talks about angels or God and things like that, they use a lot of like, because there's not like definite definitions for them. It's just like, oh, God is like water because it flows. God is like bread because we can break it and eat it. Like, and that's what happened to Jesus' body. But like, I was scared out of my mind. So scared that even though it was 10 o'clock at night, I walked outside. If there's danger, why would you walk outside the house? You would most likely stay. That's, y'all, I was messed up. I was so scared. Walked outside the house, called my cousin, and I explained to him what happened. And he was like, you need to stop this. Like, all this new age and all that stuff. He was like, it has got to stop. And I was like, you're right. So I took my tarot cards and all that stuff. And I think he told me, he was like, you probably need to burn it and all that. And I burnt it. I later threw away all my crystals and stuff. Like, I was not joking. Also, sorry. Before all this happened, my fourth demonic encounter, I forgot to mention, I was praying to these different angels. They were not angels, baby. They were demons masquerading as angels. And I remember praying. And then as I'm praying, I have my phone set up like this, like I'm talking and I'm praying. And then I look back on camera. I ended up deleting this, but I look back on camera and there are eyes looking at me from underneath my bed. And I understand. Like, I'm just so thankful, because in this moment, I'm past that. But for a while, those encounters really shook me to my core. Like, I didn't even know how to express how terrified I was. And sorry, the fifth encounter, I'm so sorry, I forgot. But this was 4 years ago. So just bear with me. I'm sorry. And I deleted all this because I didn't want to carry anything. My old life, I did not want that on camera. I did not want me keeping that, all the crystals work I did and all that stuff. I renounced it and I let it go. I threw it in the dumpster ASAP. No, Rocky, it was serious. But I also remember my mom had got DoorDash, and the person that had like screenshot, they took a picture of our food at the door, and my mom was like, Araya, come look at this. As I'm looking at it, there are like 3 black orbs on the thing. And I'm like, anybody that does New Age stuff, they know that like that represents death. Like, even they know. I'm not going to say as Christians we should fearmonger over this stuff and be terrified, because no. Hear this when I say, if you don't understand anything more from this segment of me talking about New Age, please understand when I say, even though I was dealing with demonic power, that demonic power will never, ever be greater than the power of Christ. Point blank, period. And that is my statement. Like, you can quote me on that. even though I had some type of skewed power and I was trying to manipulate God, which is the basis of witchcraft and creating your own gods, little g, G-O-D-S, not big G-O-D, trying to get the power from different gods, it still wasn't strong enough. Clearly, it caused me to be led to the correct God, big G-O-D. But my mom, even my mom was scared because she was like, why are there black orbs? Like, I was just... I was just doing a lot of stuff that I shouldn't have done. So at that point, I literally said, okay, God, I don't know if you want me to be like Muslim or like Buddhist. I tried to be Buddhist, clearly, with the New Age stuff, with like Hindu undervalues and stuff. But I was like, clearly, that's not you. So I was like, what do you want me to do? I remember my third grade teacher, Mrs. Smith, had gave me a Bible. The whole spine, it was like so messed up on the side of the Bible, but she gave it to me. And I remember I kept it in the closet. Mind you, if I'm 14 and that Bible was from when I was 8, I kept on to it for 6 years. And y'all know I said that we were getting evicted. So as to how that Bible held on, I don't even know. Because clearly I didn't care for the Bible. But I remember I opened it up to Song of Solomon because I didn't know what I was doing. I was just desperate to read God's word and to get back to him and to repent for all the stuff I did. And so I was like, well, Song of Solomon is not the book. So then I went to 1st and 2nd Thessalonians, and then I went back and just said, I'm just going to go from A to Z. And I started at Genesis, but I started over and I repented of everything I did. I actually went around the house and like I was anointing the doors and stuff, like the Passover kind of. And I was like, I renounce all the spirits and stuff that I brought in. Like, I was serious. I said, I'm not going back. I'm not going back. And this was during COVID too. So it gave me so much time to just learn about God and to just open up his word and read. And so it was awesome. So then shortly after Christ Now, because now I had just turned 15, I went back to the basics with everything. I also went back to high school after COVID. I was now a 10th grader. But everything wasn't all peaches and cream, though, just because I gave my life to God. And I don't want to lie to anyone about that. I oftentimes ate lunch in the bathrooms. Yeah, in the bathrooms, or I would call my mom so that during lunch, I could eat in the car with her for 30 minutes because I was so lonely. After Christ, I felt like I didn't really have much friends. I felt like I only had my cousin because we both went to the same public school. We're only like 4 months apart. So we've always been pretty close. But yeah, I didn't felt like I fit in. I was very lonely. So thank God that increased my hunger for God and it increased the intimacy that I wanted to have with him. But yeah, so this is when I started creating a lot of Christian content and all that stuff. And yeah, again, though, unfortunately, some downsides after I went to Christ. I did have to get admitted into a psychiatric facility when I was 16 because I was still struggling with suicidal ideation. And there was still a lot of hurt that was in turmoil in my family. And so I was having a lot of issues. But thank God I was able to graduate high school a year early at 16 years old. And then I was able to go to the college of my choice at the time, Houston Baptist. And I'm now at Lubbock Christian. And my third and final college I'll be going to in the summer, I'll be transferring again, is Paul Quinn College. And so, I know it's crazy, I know it's a lot, but I'm just telling y'all what's happened since then. I now have a lot of different hobbies. Like, I love nature, I love content, I love like doing my hair and stuff. I'm just focused more on growing it. So most of the time my hair is actually in mini twists. I really enjoy like preaching the word of God, learning about secondary issues in the Bible, like women preaching, wearing gold, yes or no, tattoos, all that stuff. Like, I love doing that. I've learned so much about myself that I do like to talk. As a kid, I didn't talk as much because I didn't feel like talking was safe. I didn't feel like people would hear me, but I love to talk. I love to speak. I like to get to know people. And I like when they're equally interested in me. I just learned so much of God. I've learned about the different gifts that I have, which I found a lot of shame in them because I didn't want to admit them, but it's okay. I have the gift of prophetic dreams. So it doesn't happen like every day. I don't want to lie to y'all and say that. Because even some of the greatest men in the Bible that we aspire to be, it does not show in the Bible that God gave them a new message or new revelation every single day. But at times I get prophetic dreams. I can't explain them because it's not me, it's God. I have the gift of teaching, and I will be a teacher eventually. I have the gift of wisdom. I want to say and knowledge, but I need to learn the difference between those two. So yeah, I found so much stuff about myself. My mental health, I'm doing so much better, and I am seeing a doctor for that as well. I am also in counseling. I was also in and out of counseling even before Christ and shortly after Christ, but been doing a lot of counseling since then. I have good, really, really, really good girlfriends. Shout out to Rebecca and Ruth, seriously, because they are like my, I don't even really know how to explain it, but they're just awesome. They're amazing. They're just awesome. I really don't know any other way to say it. I love them so, so much. It's so important to have good Christian friends, point blank, period. But yeah, I've definitely messed up since then, so don't get that twisted. But I've also just recently, like less than a month ago, like 2 weeks ago, I have also started to forgive so many people in my life. And if you're like, even as a Christian, you held hatred, absolutely. Absolutely. So I just want to hint y'all, like, even though y'all heard all that, and I gave testimony to Christ and I professed him, I still have messed up since then. Still was getting drunk and smoking weed and all that even after Christ. So yeah, but since like December 18th, I think it was, of 2023, I have not smoked. No edibles, no none of that. Have I wanted to? Absolutely, but I haven't. And I'm so thankful. To God be the glory. And then alcohol was probably sometime in November. And then pornography and masturbation was sometime in January. So I'm getting free, y'all. I'm getting free of this stuff. I really am. And only thanks be to God for that. So yeah. And then just some common themes in my life that God really showed was that God literally was always there. I cannot stress enough. That I could have, would have, and should have been 6 feet under, but God was there the entire time. Another theme of my life was connection, both good and bad, connection to things and people. Like, some good connections I have was whoever was praying for me while I was still out there being ghetto and having a good allegiance to Satan, whoever was praying for me and all that stuff, it worked clearly because I'm here now and I'm never going to shut up about Christ. It's me and he. Y'all see that? Like, we're locked in. We're besties, okay? But so that helps me. And like, the people that I met in high school, like I met Emma in high school, which is amazing. She definitely helped me with my faith. And like, even now with Ruth and Rebecca, like the connection to them helped after the fact. But before the fact, when I was connected to horrible things, just like guilty by association, or I had access to certain drugs and alcohol, that connection was not good. But that was another theme in my testimony. And the last theme I would say in my testimony was choice. I always had the choice to either do good or bad, point blank, period. I think that everyone starts off on a playing field. And I know, because we want to believe in equality, that we say everybody starts off on the same playing field. Well, that was not the case for me. I didn't start off on the same playing field as having two parents up until I was 18 and being taught about financial literacy and about even going to college and about how to steward my gifts as a child and about the creativity that I had and stuff. I didn't learn that. I didn't start off on a playing field like that. But thank God he helped me to get back. And now, like, I'm able to take care of myself and do all of this. So the decision was always mine to make. I just decided to make it when I was 14 because I was like, it's now or never. It's now or never. Why would I wait till I'm like 50 if there's a, God forbid, but there's a chance I may not even make it to 50 at the route that I was going on? No. I literally didn't even think I was going to make it to 18. So this birthday that I had, August 30th, 2023, when I turned 18, I was shocked because I thought that before then I would have committed, you know what? I thought it would have happened by then. And so even just me turning 18, y'all don't understand. I used to be the same girl who was praying for God to take me away in my sleep because of how burdened I was. So I'm always going to give God the glory because he is the greatest of all time, point blank, period. Boy, period. Okay. But yeah, so I'm gonna read a couple verses. I'm gonna start off with Romans 8:1, if I can find it. Romans chapter 8, verse 1. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. So everything I talked about, if you dealt with some of the same things, repent, girl or guy. There's no condemnation in Christ, so come get it. It's free. It's free. Free 99. Not even the 99 cents. It don't even cost that. So come get right with God. Okay. He he's always handing out, like, you know how people be handing out business cards and they'd be like, oh, take that. Just pretend like this says freedom from condemnation. How about you take that? Yeah. Go ahead and take it because it's free from Christ and from Christ only. The second verse I'm going to read is 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. And it says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. If y'all can't tell, I just feel like I look so different. If you used to know me like from back then, I feel like I just look so different now. My skin glows differently. I talk differently. I do act differently. Sometimes I do still have to catch myself. So I'm like, whoa, Aria, you're saved. You are not supposed to be doing that. But yeah, like I've just changed since then. There's just a different glow that you get with Jesus. Don't give your life to Christ because you want a new glow only. Like, you got to get everything else. Repentance comes with that too. So I'm just saying. And then lastly, Revelation chapter 12, verse 11. And they have conquered him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. For they loved not their lives even unto death. And so I'm just going to pray us out, God. This is just some various verses that I took from the book of Colossians chapter 3, and I'm just going to read them out. God, I pray that we would all seek and set our minds on things that are above, putting to death all negative earthly fruits that we've picked up along the way, and instead put on compassion, kindness, humility, meekness, patience, forbearance, forgiveness, love, harmony, peace, thankfulness, and wisdom, doing everything through Christ Jesus, God. I thank you for any and everyone who listens to this. Even if they clicked off mid-video, if they're listening to it in different portions, because this is lengthy, it doesn't matter, God. I just want to thank you for the work that you've done in me and the work that you've done in the listener who's listening to me, God. I pray that they would really keep up with their spiritual fruit in their garden. I pray that they would be bold enough and strong enough to share their testimony and to always, always take account of your goodness that you're doing in their lives every day. Their testimonies don't have to be as chaotic as mine's for you to still get the glory. So in your heavenly name, pray and thank you. Again, if y'all want to talk to me about some things in my testimony, if y'all have questions, if y'all want to know anything about me, y'all, I say this every time. Ask me, text me, do something. All right, I'm hungry. I haven't eaten all day, so I'm going to go. But yeah, I really do love y'all so much, and I'm incredibly grateful for y'all. Bye. Toodles.